Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider in studio. What's up, Bob?
Not a whole heck of a lot.
No? Nothing going on?
Quiet Tuesday.
Insider trading? What's cooking over there?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Pierre LeBrun reported that Sean Burke, who will be heading up Hockey Canada's Spengler Cup delegation, has asked Wayne Gretzky if he wants to coach the team at Christmas. And Gretzky's deciding. He's honored, but, you know, family man, grandfather now, so right. He may have family commitments that would prevent him from otherwise doing that. So we'll see what happens.
That's an interesting ask. I mean, Gretz is Gretz, but he doesn't really seem to be into coaching right now.
He hasn't done it for 10 years.
Yeah.
But?
Well, he works for Edmonton. Like
Wayne Gretzky, it's Hockey Canada, and so we'll see.
Still the Hockey Canada, I guess, alumni tie with Bob Nicholson and all of that scenario there. But, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, what would spark that? Like, why would Sean Burke...
Relationships, maybe?
No, I know that, but... Like, still. It's almost like the Spengler Cup. Give someone young an opportunity to coach at that stage.
Don't know.
Yeah. But it sounds like an attention grab where it's like, I'm running this, and look who I got to coach.
Well, Sean Burke played for him when he was in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a strong connection there, and it's Wayne Gretzky.
So. Well, no kidding. I guess he can do whatever he wants. I mean, it would make it interesting. I wouldn't mind, you know, tracking what he's up to at the Spengler Cup. If he's behind the bench. But.
From his path, that's what it is unique, is he hasn't coached in 10 years. He's been, you know, involved with the Oilers organization as an ambassador and everything. Like you say, he's got a family and he's a grandfather. That seems like, I don't know, item 10 on his list. Like, it doesn't seem like front and center.
And Pierre LeBrun, who reported it, is not reporting that Gretzky's doing it. He simply reported that he was asked and that he's honored by that. And we'll see.
Where are you at with the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender situation?
Well, it's pretty obvious right now. It's Freddie on Wednesday, Freddie on Friday, I would assume. First game, back-to-back. Got the Boston Bruins down at Scotiabank Arena. We'll be down doing the Hall of Fame game, as always. Excuse me. And Saturday night in Pittsburgh. So I'm going to assume that Kazimier Kaskisuo, he of 76 American Hockey League games and zero NHL games, is going to get to go up against the Penguins. Now, I don't know if Sid will be in the lineup or not because he's injured right now, but Pittsburgh's still a pretty fair team that he might get his NHL debut against, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Worth noting, we know that Michael Hutchinson just went through whatever, five or six.
Yeah.
Five, was it five back-to-backs or six? I forget.
Five.
But anyways, there are five more back-to-back situations for the Toronto Maple Leafs between now and the end of December. So, and that starts this Friday, Saturday, and then the end of the month, there's a home-and-home with Buffalo, 1 at 4 o'clock on the American Thanksgiving Friday, and back at the Scotiabank Arena on the Saturday night. And then there's a few more in December, two before Christmas and one after.
Going through, you know, just what you put out on Twitter, just your opinion and what you're seeing in that, Kaskisuo getting an opportunity, you know, do you get a sense that, you know, it is a genuine opportunity for the goaltender, or Michael Hutchinson's situation kind of force it? Like, what do you get a sense, if you're getting anything? Because I know it's blood from a stone.
I think it's genuine opportunity for Kaskisuo, but a recognition that they don't really know what they've got here because he's never played an NHL game before.
Right.
And it's funny because his numbers weren't great last year, but he got them deep into the playoffs and played very well in the playoffs. And those who know him say he came into this year with a whole different attitude. He's 26 years old, never played an NHL game, but he came in this year with a different attitude and a different approach, and his numbers have been fantastic. I think he's 6-1 with the Marlies, .928 save percentage. So give him a chance and see what he does, because they have to do that because they're a cap team. And even though Mitch Marner's out of the lineup and they can just basically swap out Hyman for Mitch Marner and they get scads of cap money on LTIR, excuse me, for as long as Marner's out. That's the hitch. He's, as long as he's out. So they could go out and get a veteran backup add him to the roster, but then when Marner comes back, it'll be tough to pull off.
Well, that ultimately lies at the feet of Kyle Dubas. I mean, Dubas is the one that decided this is going to be the cap situation. We have no money for our backup. We're going to sign a guy to a PTO, and that was Michael Neuwirth, and I'm sure they hoped that he would be willing to play, and he decided he wasn't willing to play. But, you know, listen, Hutchinson has to own it. Babcock, I don't think, has done him any favors. The players have not done themselves any favors. But the GM made this call.
He's in. Oh, yeah.
He made the call.
He's absolutely.
He's got no options.
Because, you know, they had McElhinney. Now, I don't know that McElhinney would have stuck around this long to be the backup when he obviously was looking for more opportunity. And he got it in Carolina. And then he got it in Tampa.
Right.
He got a two-year deal. He wasn't getting a two-year deal for the money he's getting in Tampa from the Leafs, I don't think. So, you know. But the Leafs did make a conscious decision, let McElhinney go, keep Garrett Sparks. Sparks didn't work out. Try Hutchison. He didn't work out. And now they're into the spin cycle of trying to find a backup goaltender who can live up to the high bar of almost only ever playing on the second night of back-to-backs for a team that's terrible at it.
Crazy when McElhinney got here. I think if once you saw him have some success and you said, you want to sign a three-year deal at $1 million? Would you like that?
Yeah, maybe
probably,
he would
have said, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Like he was on waivers. They picked him up on waivers.
Dead in the water.
But he's gotten better with age. That's the one thing. I remember having a conversation with him and a couple other goaltenders in the league. It's almost like they arrive at 33, 34. They get it mentally. They get it physically. And they're like, one of them said to me, it's like, it's crazy. I get it now, and I'm almost out of the league. And that's what you're seeing, the maturation. Yep. That's, you can't even discount the fact that McElhinney, as a veteran backup, the relationship with the starter, too. Like, these young kids that are cycling through, like Garrett Sparks and Frederick Anderson, I'm sure there was a layer of relationship. But Garrett Sparks isn't going, if they're going into Chicago, Sparks isn't pulling him aside and going, you know, in the corner, in the Zamboni corner, I noticed, you know, for the 5 years I've been in this league, I'm going to help you out. Like, there was nothing.
The same thing now. Like, Kaskasuo has never been on an NHL bus,
let alone
bench or ice.
It's a challenge right now, but you have to wonder, I don't know, and Bob, I don't know if you know, if there's a bigger play or if they're just going to tread water and see if this is, you know, you've got some
right now. They're
found
right now they're treading water.
Yeah.
Right now they're going to want to see what this kid can do.
Yeah,
I call him a kid. He's 26 years old.
Right.
They're going to see what he can do and take it one game at a time and figure out what's what.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because Tampa, you know, they had Louis Domingue last year.
Yeah.
He won 21 games, but they obviously didn't think he was a good enough backup, even though we won 21 games.
That's bizarre to me.
They were outscoring. They were outscoring their. I think they viewed it as the Lightning were just obliterating people, and they were outscoring whatever problems they had, and the problems came home to roost in the playoffs. So they went out and got McElhinney, basically to take Louis Domingue's spot, put Domingue in the minors, and then, and just until recently, now he's in Jersey. In the minors.
Right.
Yeah, not playing.
That's crazy, though. I mean,
and he was on waivers.
Yeah.
First
Louis
day of camp.
Wasn't in the net for one playoff game.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? It's
But it's crazy. Like, to me, that speaks of a progressive general manager.
Right.
Goes, I've got a guy who just won 21 games, and I don't like what I'm seeing. And I don't think it's shaking the room up. Like, it's more about, like, I need to get better.
I view that as overthinking it, you know.
Maybe. But that said, he was on waivers. Now, he was on waivers the first day that you could get waivers. And that's a great time. If you want to slide a goalie, or anybody for that matter, through on waivers, put them on the first day. You can do it on the beginning of training camp. Because everybody's got high hopes for the guys they've got.
Exactly.
And they've got all these players, and they're thinking about how are they going to cut down, not add somebody. But nobody jumped on them. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Leafs are not the only team with cap problems, you know, or a lack of flexibility. But, you know, it's not even necessarily about Marner and how much he got paid or Matthews. There were other options for them to decide, you know what, we're not going to spend that kind of money. Like, I believe they could have walked away from Cody Ceci if they wanted to. They chose not to, and they ate the 4.5. But you're telling me you sign a better backup, and that's not going to be more valuable than whatever Cody Ceci is going to bring to your team? Over 82 games?
I forget all the financial permutations on CeCe, but in order to get rid of the Zaitsev contract,
they had to take him on.
They had to take him on, but he had to agree that, you know,
they would guarantee the money.
That he's gone, like it's just a 1 year, and
right,
and everybody's free to walk away at the end.
Okay, so that, maybe that's that not part the of example.
There was an obligation. All I remember from that is, without trying to remember everything,
right.
There was an obligation where they had to take CeCe.
Well, okay, and I mean we talked about this countless times in the summer. Like, what's important? A secondary defenseman, some help on the third or fourth line, or a backup goaltender. And in this era, I mean, it's become clear that the backup goaltender, it feels like it's more important than it ever has been.
Yeah, but you know what?
And, sports
and
science.
I agree with that, and I got all sorts of grief on Twitter for not defending Hutchison, because I tried to make the point, and I've made it here many times before. I'm not convinced he's an NHL-caliber goaltender. You know, and if he is, it's on the low-level backup end of things.
Replacement value guy.
Yeah, exactly. And that. But in this instance, when the bar's so high and you're only playing in the second half of back-to-backs, and you're getting, you know, Freddie's getting the Columbus Blue Jackets and Hutchison's getting the Montreal Canadiens, Freddie's getting the Minnesota Wild, mm-hmm. and Hutchison's getting the Washington Capitals. I forget the other ones that were pretty bad, but it was the same sort of thing all the way along. There's not enough responsibility on the Leafs just sucking on back-to-backs.
They've been awful.
Yeah. There's
no explanation for it.
They collapse in front of Hutchison. And everybody, honestly, I know some people believe if they had a better backup goalie, they wouldn't have lost all those back-to-backs. And maybe that's the case.
No guarantee, though.
I'm not convinced, because I saw total collapse defensively in the first period in Chicago, in the second period against Washington, and the third period against Montreal the mm-hmm. first time.
Yeah.
Total collapse. Total, like, 3-4 goals in 5-10 minutes, boom, done.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, every one of them wasn't a bad goal. It wasn't.
Right.
And so, I mean, at some point, the onus has got to be on the coach, the six defensemen and the 12 forwards that are in the lineup, as much as the backup goaltender. But the backup goaltender gives everybody a convenient lightning rod of saying, that's the problem.
Well, I think the heat on Babcock, it's going to come and go in waves, right? Like, when they were losing games, it was heated, and then all of a sudden they run off a few wins, and it's like, okay, glass half full, we're okay here.
But you're right. It's going to be tough.
And now it's
going to be like the weather.
Right.
Tough weekend.
And now he's
weekend.
Back in it.
Tough weekend. Yes. Well, the goalie's got to go. But you're right. Like, the thing that I would imagine they're hoping, as Kaskasuo comes up, the team wakes up in front of them, maybe outscores an issue, and they get a win.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they build off of that.
That's ideal.
Like,
but if it doesn't happen, you know, something, no one's going to at the end of the season say, it all crumbled because of the backup goalie.
No.
That's never going to happen. No. Not in
and
this
I think
city.
It's also been 5 years saying, are these guys going to lock it down defensively?
Right.
5 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of it's on the players.
And, it, and it's going to be fascinating, because we're at a point in the schedule where you got the Islanders, got the Islanders on Wednesday.
Boston.
You got the Bruins on Friday, and you got Pitt on Saturday, and it's a back-to-back.
Then you hit
the fascinating three-game stretch.
Yes.
Fascinating.
It is.
I guess because it's if it goes really well, then you're right. I mean, everybody's going to be like,
whew. Breathe again.
Yeah. It's all good. The Leafs are fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if they get 2 out of 3 wins, and one of them is Kaskasuo winning on Saturday night, everybody will be like,
we've figured it out.
All good. No problem.
All good.
Everything good. Leafs are on track now. Imagine if they lose all three.
Well,
imagine if they lose all three and Kaskasuo gets lit up on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like where it's at?
Pet's heads.
I'll be taking a sick day on Monday. I won't be able to come in. It's going to be so ugly. Well, and then they hit the road at Vegas, at Arizona, at Colorado.
Yeah.
Like, that's no joke either.
No kidding.
Like, Arizona.
Those are three playoff teams.
Good team.
Yeah, and Colorado
Arizona's
will beat you 11-0 if you don't pay attention.
Just for fun. Yeah. and Vegas is no slouch.
Right. And they can't beat good teams. I mean, that's been the problem. They beat Vegas. Yeah. They beat Boston the one night. But Tampa, St. Louis, Montreal, a lot of the best teams. Yeah. And you got your next six games are all teams that are currently in a playoff
spot. And you're on the road.
And you're on the road.
That's tough.
Five of the next six are on the road. And the only home game is Boston. So
beautiful.
I think, honestly, on November 24th, we're going to have a read on what this season's going to be all about.
Yeah, I said on Thanksgiving, let's just everybody take a Valium and let's reconvene after American Thanksgiving.
Well, that'll be it. That'll be after the
You've got. It'll actually be the end. That American Thanksgiving, you've got that back-to-back. 4 o'clock on the Thanksgiving Friday in the U.S., in Buffalo, and the Sabres in Toronto. That's where we'll see where
that's
they're at.
That's the 29th, 30th.
December 1st.
And we also thought, well, they'll get healthy because they're going to get Hyman back, which they are, but then they lost Marner. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's just a fool's game trying to play that one. Everybody in the NHL has injuries. Deal with it.
Yep. Yeah. That'll be 9 games. There'll be a 28 for the season. And December 1st.
Yeah, that's a... You'll know. You'll know what that
phone lines will be open at that point.
By the way, oh, did the boys like the ensemble today?
I don't know. It was kind of...
We're wearing turtlenecks tomorrow. I am.
Turtleneck Tuesday?
I'm going to try and find one. But I want a thick one, like a neck brace.
The big one.
Yeah, like the old school neck brace.
Barely breathe.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm working late tomorrow night. I don't know how I'm going to swing it off the chain. I'm wearing a turtleneck tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you're fine.
If I can.
I support the look.
I do, too.
It's easy. It's not that tight. It's not tight. It's just comfortable.
But he ate a can of
beans. Can you fly it on the...
On the panel?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Or is it like mandatory tie in the panel?
You know what? Here's my advice for you.
I know what you're going to say. Just do it and see what happens.
It's easier to get forgiveness than permission. But having said that, I'm not the one who has to take it on the chin if it's...
Yeah. I'm in no position to be trying that on the panel. I'll tell you that right now.
That's Hall of Fame game else. Friday night.
Duffy can maybe try the turtleneck.
You should... Yeah, you should bring it out for the Hall of Fame game on Friday.
Right.
No,
I think Steve
that might be because it's away from here, so it's kind of downtown. I could just run home.
All right, Bob.
All right, boys.
Good
thanks.
Seeing you, buddy.
Have a good
Here's
one.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Chuba Hubbard from Edmonton, Alberta, idolizing
You're just
noodles growing up.
That somebody good is coming out.
I love it. I'm so. Well, he's a football player. He's going to be. He's a stud.
He's a stud.
He's a stud. He will
had
join
one
us.
Month a year to play football in Edmonton, and he got really
indoors.
Good at it.
He played
indoor football. I'll bet you he was a huge Eskimo fan, the whole nine.